Hello, everybody, and welcome to Film Actually News for the 12th of March, 2012. I am David McVeigh, and I am joined by Josh Philpott. How are you, Josh?
Yes.
And Richard Gray, how are you?
42.
Fair enough. This is Film Actually News. This is where we deliver the week's entertainment news in 30 minutes or less or your money back. We don't like to make the news here. We just kind of stand beside it and mock it. How are you guys doing tonight?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm awake.
Is that all you're going to say tonight, Josh, is yes?
I've got other words.
This is how we're going to make this show. This is how we're going to make this show under 30 minutes, isn't it? You're going to keep this monosyllabic. How do you say that word? I just said it wrong.
Monosyllabic.
Syllabic. Thank you. That's what I was. Boy, have I told you yet so far that I'm actually really tired?
Moving on.
How tired are you?
I'm pretty tired. All right, let's move on. Talk about the news. What do you reckon? Because we have a crap ton of stories this week. So let's get on with it. And all I want to say is I've heard about budget cuts on movies before. But do you remember, in fact, Josh in particular, because we were doing the show when it first got announced, remember when they first started talking about making a movie out of the board game Ouija?
Yes.
The Ouija board movie? And at the time,
I don't know if you can classify that as a board game.
Well, that's what
it's not like you roll a dice and things happen.
That's what they call it.
Kind of dependent on the mystical spirits of this game.
Yeah.
Well, kind of. This was going to be directed by McGee, and it was going to be produced by Michael Bay's Platinum Dunes. Crap, right there. Okay. So, and it was going to actually have a budget of over $100 million. Not bad for a game that was just a plastic board. I mean, with some letters.
Man, that would have been an amazing horror film.
Maybe. But apparently they got kiboshed and they weren't going to go ahead with this. Well, it just came out this week that Universal has resurrected this project and they are going to go with it. And it's had a bit of a budget cut.
Okay, now when you mean a bit of a budget cut, we're looking like, what, 10 million off the top?
Yeah, maybe, possibly, you know, maybe they cut 25% off, maybe, you know, even.
Is it half?
Lower. They're now saying that it's going to be closer to about $5 million.
Wow.
So they've slashed,
a budget drop.
They've slashed $95 million off the budget. Somehow I don't think McGee is going to be directing it anymore, and I would even have doubts that Michael Bay is producing this. So I thought that was kind of cute, and I'm always curious to see where these sort of projects are going to go. I still doubt this project will happen, even at $5 million.
Oh, yeah, no, so do I. And after saying Platinum Dunes, it hurts even more because I finally managed to finish the Friday the 13th film, Dave.
Oh, you finally got through it.
Yeah, I finally did it. And it's even more of a piece of shit when you get to the end.
This is the film, for those who haven't been listening, that Josh has been trying to watch for how many months now?
God, I don't know. We were talking about it when it first came out, so...
And you just haven't managed to get to the end.
I keep trying, but I either get really bored or really angry. It just depends on the day.
Fair enough. Well, let's move on, and let's see if Richard can make you any more angry, Josh. Richard, what's your next story?
Well, we all liked Chronicle, didn't we?
We did.
Yeah, that's what it was about.
Did we think it needed a sequel?
No.
I'm always open to things like this having a sequel, but at the same time, no, I wouldn't have wanted one.
Well, there's going to be one.
All right, cool. Okay. All right. Tell us about the sequel.
It's going to be written by Max Landis, who wrote the first one.
Mm-hmm. I found out some trivia about him this week.
What was that?
I had no idea. He's actually John Landis' son.
Well, gag me with a spoon.
So there you go. Runs in the family.
So, yeah, I mean, that's all the information at the moment. That's been greenlit for Fox, that he's been signed on to direct that.
But Will Trank directed it.
Sorry, he's been signed on to write that, not direct it.
Yeah, but I was about to say, Will Trank direct it, though? That's the question.
Yeah, well, we don't know who's going to direct it, but...
Trank's kind of in that spot where he's kind of in the sophomore seat right now.
Well, he's actually got a pitch for... apparently, he's... Universal bought a pitch that he did with Ron Howard attached to direct. Yeah. And also Disney's bought up an untitled adventure pick that he's written as well. So he's got a few scripts out there.
And there's also, Trank is also in talks for another film. I'm not sure if either of you got this in the story lineup. Did you get that one where they talked about what his next film might be?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I haven't got the link here, so I'll have to dig it up. But apparently he's in talks at the moment to direct the spin-off movie Venom.
Ah.
So,
well, like Venom as in like comic book
as
Venom.
As in the comic book Venom, yeah.
Hmm. There you go.
So he was, remember there was all those rumors about him doing Fantastic Four. Well, apparently it's a little bit different to Fantastic Four. He's looking at the villain.
Huh.
So I thought that, I didn't put it in the show notes. I was sure one of you would grab it. All right, so we could look forward to Chronicle 2 if it happens. Let's be very clear that these sort of projects, scriptwriters get hired for things right, left, and center, and then these projects never happen.
So, yeah.
We'll see what happens. Josh, what do you got?
Well, it, being that I love to grab anything that's an overseas film and kind of point it out to people, there's a director, I think his name's Jonathan. Sorry, my notes are right here. Johnny Toe is doing a film called Life Without Principle. Have you seen this?
No.
No,
I haven't. I've seen Johnny Toe's most recent film.
Which one?
Romancing into Thin Air, which came out in February, and it got an international release all around the world. We get these Chinese films here for like a week in cinemas, but they come out at the same time as they do in Hong Kong or China.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Romancing into Thin Air, it was a terrible romantic film. And Johnny Toe's one of these guys who's got like really good at sort of crime thriller, you know, seedy underside of Hong Kong things on, you know, triad stuff on one hand and these really sappy romances on the other. So he confuses me.
Oh, so he's doing a bit like the whole Ang Lee thing with
a little bit, yeah.
Sorry, not Ang Lee, John Woo. John Woo,
yeah. Well, both of them really have
Spanish
genres.
Yeah. Well, this one just looks bizarre because it's like, it's just after the market crash and it seems to be part like, you know, hunting thriller and part financial crisis analyst. In one movie.
Two genres I can see mixing together well.
Well, it seems it's such a fast trailer. Like, it's cut so quickly, it doesn't really even end. It's kind of like, footage, end. And you're like, oh, all right.
But you again, totally cut together trailers, Josh.
Speaking of the idea of just linking things together, Josh, I'm going to cut you off here for the next story because it kind of fits. We actually said the Topher Grace, do you remember Topher Grace? Funnily enough, he played Venom in the original, in the Spider-Man 3, and he played the Venom on movie screens, and he was in that 70s show. He decided, for some reason, I'm not entirely even sure why.
Weed, probably.
He took the three prequel Star Wars movies and re-edited them. And he actually took 7 hours of these films and edited it down to 85 minutes as one film.
I'd say that's generous as to how much it's worth.
Well, apparently the 85 minutes of footage that he screened to industry friends, this will never see the light of day, people.
Of course not.
But the 85 minutes that he actually cut together apparently maintained the narrative of the Anakin Skywalker road to, from Jedi to Sith, and apparently was brilliant. I want to see this film.
I would buy that film if they released it on DVD.
I just want to know what provoked him to do this, you know?
Fan anger, like the rest of us. He sat down and went, fuck this shitty trilogy. I'm going to make it into a film I'll actually watch.
I've got the time. I've got the know-how. I'm going to do the damn thing.
He's got the friends. And so, yes, apparently his 85-minute cut of the prequel trilogy actually definitely fixes the problems of the prequel trilogy by just getting rid of all the crap and keeping the good stuff. Anyway, I just thought that was very amusing. Richard.
Well, look, there's a story I got later up in the show notes about John Carter's opening weekend, which we'll talk about in a minute. But before we even get to that, Disney have announced this week that they're developing another sci-fi space adventure called Paladin.
Okay.
Now, Disney seems to be hell-bent on having a sci-fi film because they've not had a great history with sci-fi. I mean, we're talking Black Hole.
I love the Black Hole.
I like the Black Hole, but it wasn't exactly a success.
And it wasn't exactly good either, but I love it.
No, I've got a soft spot for it, but no, it's not good. You know, Treasure Planet.
Which was
Tron,
fucking cool.
I love Treasure Planet, but it was a flop.
Yes, it was a flop. Didn't they also do, was it them that did the one with Matt Damon and Drew Barrymore, the animated one?
Matt.
I'm going to look this up. Keep going.
Keep going.
Okay. Yeah, but I mean, they've also got Tron under their belt and Tron Legacy.
Well, let's also not forget that Tron bombed as well.
Yeah, well, exactly. And I think that the problem
is... And let's not forget Condor Man.
Okay. they had the Rocketeer. They did do the Rocketeer.
That's true, but that was actually under the Touchstone label. The Touchstone label was actually producing some really quality stuff in those years.
That's true. Now, we'll talk about this a bit more when we get to my last story, which is on the John Carter opening weekend. But I think the problem is that Disney historically haven't had a lot of luck marketing sci-fi. I don't think they understand sci-fi audiences enough to market to them.
That's true. That said, also, actually, most recently as well, we also had Race to Witch Mountain.
Yes, there, which was a remake of
That one actually didn't do so badly, though.
No. But it had The Rock in it.
That's true, and The Rock makes everything good.
Exactly.
Josh, have you found the name of the movie yet?
I have, but I'm looking up some information. Keep going. Okay. I'll come back to it.
Anyways, this is going to be Max Borenstein, who's going to be behind Legendary Pictures' fantasy movie they've got coming up called The Seventh Son. They've commissioned him to write a space-set sci-fi adventure called Paladin. We don't know much about it, but Justin Springer is producing. And despite the prognostications of doom for John Carter after its meager opening weekend of only $30 million,
I sense a bit of bitterness in you.
Well, wait till we get to my rant later.
I'm staying completely quiet until this section.
Yeah. But anyway, I just thought that was interesting that they're commissioning other things. Sci-fi seems to be clearly a market that Disney wants to get into.
I think they've been wanting to get into it for a long time, actually.
And they've never quite been able to crack it. I think their best bet is sticking with the Tron films. But obviously, look, but you've got to give props to Disney for, keeping to try.
Titan A.E.
Titan A.E. That wasn't Disney, though, was it?
I don't know. The producer is a Disney producer.
Yeah,
so.
I think Titan A.E. though, from memory, was like Fox or Sony.
It was Fox. Yeah.
That was actually not bad, though. I quite like that.
Yeah. Again, another one of those films. That's just why I thought about it.
Yeah.
But sci-fi has been a tough one the last few years for everyone. No one's quite gotten a handle on what makes good sci-fi. So, look, props to Disney and props to other studios for keeping to try and bring something back to us. But I'm looking forward to Prometheus this year.
Yeah, me too. That's the sci-fi. Although, I got to tell you, Disney's best bet at this point is to stick with superheroes. They've got the material.
Well, they don't. Yeah, exactly.
They've got the material. All right, Josh, tell me about this high school. What is this?
Well, that's interesting. Dave, I would have thought you were all over this.
That's the first I've heard of it.
Okay. Now, the whole thing about this dude is this is the first film that, what's his name? Your favorite, Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith, yep.
Has basically sat down and gone, well, I'm going to produce films.
Mm-hmm.
And that's his new thing, quote unquote. But again, that could change next week. but at this stage, this is the first film. It's him and a company called Phase 4, is my understanding. It's the distribution partnership
That he's created. He was going under Smodcast Pictures, but I guess he's changed his mind again. Okay.
Yeah, it says here on the line. It is. It's Kevin Smith and a company called Phase 4 announced distribution partnership where Phase 4 will require low-budget films and release them under Kevin Smith's Smodcast Pictures
banner.
There
it is. Yeah, okay.
Okay. This film, it looks really shit. And I don't really see, it's one of those kind of languid, almost office style humors, but it's going for kind of an almost in-betweeners kind of a feel. I'm not sure if you've seen the show. Again, I don't find it particularly funny.
Which show is that, sorry?
In-betweeners?
I haven't seen it.
Okay. But the concept is essentially, kids that go out and do kid stuff, but it's kind of extrapolated to kind of what was it? Really famous one. I don't even know it because I didn't like it as a film. But essentially one of those comedies where it's kids, going out and doing drugs and partying and all that sort of stuff. It had McLovin in it. Come on, help me out here, guys.
Super bad.
I knew it had bad in the title. But it's a bit like that if you did like a British dry humid version of that. So you can imagine how much that looks like.
Recently release a movie version of In-Betweeners? They did. Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
But yeah, essentially it looks, it just looks really kind of like it's trying to go gross out humor, but just extremify it without the gross out. So it's sort of like, it's really cutting, not funny, but really intense things that they're doing, like going out and doing crystal meth and stuff like this. It's like, I don't think it's going to be funny or interesting, but it's a bizarre choice for your first pick when you've just created a film company.
It is.
Mm. Watch the trailer. Let me know what you guys think.
I will indeed. It's also a Red Band trailer, which means it probably swears a lot, yeah?
There's a lot of drug use, though.
Yeah, that's what it is. Okay, fair enough. All right, we'll have to check that out. Jesus, set the time already. We're flying through. All right, very quickly, I'll just fly through this one really quickly because this was the most stupid thing I've read all week. My question is there actually a film here? We all remember that Nicolas Cage's Action Comics number one got stolen and then he got it back and then he sold it at auction. Well, they're now thinking about Lionsgate has acquired the rights and they're going to be making a movie called Action Number One, all about the events of this comic book.
Right, so that's the first one.
I just wonder if Nicolas Cage is going to play himself.
I have no idea what, like, this just sounds like the most silly idea.
It's so stupid. All I can think is, really, are we that bankrupt that this is what we're going to do as a movie?
Yeah.
Although I got to say that it is actually being created, the movie is actually being written by the creators of that show, Reno 911. So they're going for comedy.
Yeah, I still don't think that's going to work. Again, I've never been a fan of Reno 911. Anyone?
No,
anyone?
Not me either. I can't sit through an episode, actually. I just don't find it funny. But
I've tried. I can't.
Yeah.
I really have. but again.
All right. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there because it was really, really, really ridiculous. Richard.
It's mind-blowing. Sorry, Dave.
Keep going.
No, I'm just saying that it's not. I'm without words. I really am. I just can't think of what to say about that. I'm like, you're doing an entire film on a single comic book, which is just a comic book essentially about Superman.
That got stolen.
That got stolen.
And then returned and then sold at auction.
But it's got everything you want in a story. There's a mentally ill guy in there. It's
don't
got
call
Oscar
Nicolas Cage mentally ill.
And the guy that had the book stolen. Oh no, it's oh no, it's a stupid idea. But I mean, we followed that story a lot on panels. But it was
stupid story to start with. That we don't need a movie of it. All right, it's really just ridiculous. All right, Richard, tell me about. Oh yeah, I actually saw this picture. Tell us.
Yeah,
about
no, look, I just threw this in there because it was a picture that was released this week of Johnny Depp and Armie Hammer in the first photo, official photo of the Lone Ranger, which we've covered a few weeks, saying it's coming. Hey, they've actually started filming, and now we actually have proof that they're. No pictures.
It's not real unless there's pictures, right?
Exactly right. Now, this is very much a stage publicity shot. It's just the two of them hanging out on the prairie with Johnny Depp looking strangely at Armie Hammer. Armie Hammer in full Green Hornet mode.
Yes.
And meanwhile, Johnny Depp's basically wearing his Jack Sparrow outfit with a crow on his head.
Covered in mud.
Covered in mud. No, this seriously is like the Jack Sparrow outfit, except for some face paint and...
that ain't Tonto as I remember him.
No, not exactly. The thing is, Johnny Depp is slowly turning into Jack Sparrow over the last 10 years. Like, every time you see him, he's a little bit more pirate. He's just kept the gold teeth. He's kept the earrings. You know, he's starting to talk a little bit. Like, clearly you've never... Well, he's starting to sound exactly like...
Clearly, you've never been to Singapore.
But, you know, it's generally that more and more. Either that or he's auditioning for a new romantic band.
The last romantic thing he did was The Tourist, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, let's keep him covered in mud and dressed as Jack Sparrow.
Yeah, I think so. But, look, I thought that's interesting because, you know, the movie's coming out. Clearly, they're going for a certain vibe there for it, so...
Fair. I looked at that and I went, Armie Hammer, if they're going for that whole classic Lone Ranger, the Armie Hammer looks great. I mean, it looks just like the Lone Ranger from the old series, the old serial, but that doesn't gel with what Depp is doing beside him.
It would almost work except for the crow on his head. So, you know, you can just imagine Johnny Depp turning up the set one day and go, you know, it's Gore Verbinski directing this, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know what I think would be great, Gore, if I just wore a crow on my head for the whole time.
And Gore went, fantastic.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
I was going to do it anyway.
All right, we're running out of time. Josh, tell us about Citadel.
Citadel. I've lost my fucking notes. Hold on. Sorry, guys.
Okay, according to this article from Josh.
My iPad just decided to freeze for no reason, okay?
That's not a good ad for iPads.
Yeah. And you know what's really funny? On the bottom of that article you've got here, it's got a little ad for slow Mac. Speed up your Mac.
Bastards. They know in advance. Yeah, this looks like, you know when you watch some trailers, we talked about this last week, you get trailers that are just really bad, right?
Yeah.
But then every now and then you get trailers that aren't bad or good. They're right down the middle. So it could go either way.
Right.
Well, Citadel is one of those films where it looks like it's the most interesting but bizarre thing I've seen in ages. It's essentially one part kind of fear thriller, like psychological thriller, one part angry teenage kind of retribution kind of thing, like hoodlums. It's kind of almost one part Attack the Block, and then it's also almost a zombie film.
Wow.
And yeah, but you see, when you put that much into a film, there's a very good chance you can fuck it up.
It's based on Kieran Foy's real-life experiences.
Of being attacked.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Of being attacked. But the trailer says quite seriously that there's a virus going around or an infection going around, and it's infecting people, and they're attracted to people that fear them. Now, that's not a bad concept necessarily, but for a low-budget film, you've got a lot of really good acting and a lot of really good camera work and a lot of really good sound work to make this work.
I'll make you a bet, looking at that synopsis, I'll make you a bet it's all in his head. It's his fears, his agoraphobia.
And that's what I'm worried about, but that was what I wasn't going to spoil for people in the trailer that I had kind of already realized.
No, but that's what it's going to be all about. That's exactly what it's going to be about. So there's going to be no virus. There's going to be no zombies. It's all just this. It'll be deep and meaningful and homework. I can feel it already.
I will let you know because I will be watching that.
Fair enough. We're going to be pushing for time, so we're just going to fly through these. All I got to say is Joss Whedon is the man. I love this man. I love the fact that he's come out now and he's already talking about Avengers 2. And he said most people would actually go out and, you know, spend more money and make a bigger film. He actually has come out talking about the fact that if he was doing an Avengers 2, he would do it smaller. Smaller budget, smaller film. I love that. He actually says, quote him, he says, by not trying to, they asked him, you know, would it be a bigger film? He says, but what would make a good Avengers 2? And he said, by not trying to, he says, by being smaller, more personal, more painful, by being the next thing that should happen to these characters and not just a rehash of what seemed to work the first time, by having a theme that is completely fresh and organic to itself. I love this man.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. I love the fact that he would say, we start big and then we go in to make it personal. You know what I mean? That's fantastic. Exactly. Brilliant stuff. All right, Richard, can you rant in less than a couple of minutes and not spoil the other show?
Absolutely. Look, now, all I really wanted to say about this story is that, as I alluded to before, John Carter opened this weekend in the U.S., well, opened around the world, and it didn't do as well as, well, I don't think anybody hoped it to do well, and I think this is the point. It came in at number two at the U.S. box office with only $30 million. $39 million went to The Lorax in its second week. So this has been a runaway success that sort of came out of nowhere, I think.
I wasn't actually considering doing The Lorax for the show, but we may have to.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, The Lorax has done surprisingly well. It's earned $121 million so far. John Carter only earned $30 million in its first weekend. But the thing that really annoys me about this is, regardless of what you think about the film, and it's okay, you know, there's a lot of people who've hated the film, there's a lot of people who've loved the film, and I count myself leaning towards the latter camp, which you'll hear about in the next show. And I've already said that on several shows, that I quite enjoy this film, my review's been up there for a while. But if you give prognostications of doom for months before even a single shred of footage has been screened, saying this is going to be a flop, this is going to be Disney's biggest disaster, no one's going to go and see this, no one is going to go and see it. If every media outlet says, no, it's going to fail, then people are going to start to think, maybe I shouldn't go and see it.
Absolutely. This film has been hammered by everybody for months. Since its first trailers came out, all the analysts basically saying it's not tracking well, blah, blah, blah. They've been basically hammering on this film. They've doomed this film before it even had a chance to even open.
Now, that said, Disney historically haven't marketed sci-fi very well. That's true. And they didn't know how to market this film. It's been really weird. And right up to the last minute, they were changing the campaign, going, hey, guys, before Avatar, before Star Wars, there were books. And, you know, that was kind of like the last campaign that you should be running for a $250 million
picture. All of the posters have sucked.
The posters have been the best poster was done by, of course, Mondo. That's the Alamo Drafthouse's wing that they do all those cool custom posters. Other than that, and that was just a limited poster they were giving out to people who went to midnight screenings.
Yeah.
Other than that, the posters have been Photoshop nightmares. That have told me nothing about the film except that it's called John Carter.
Yeah, no, it's had a terrible campaign. The trailers give you nothing but a vibe of Prince of Persia. You know, it's really been massacred. And then on top of that, you've had everybody just pronouncing this thing DOA before they even had a chance to see it.
And the opening weekend is about on par with Prince of Persia.
Yeah, well, and look, quite frankly, if it was any other month, $30 million is a respectable opening. But this is a big film that they were expecting big things from. This film still has a chance of being fairly successful.
In international money, it's going to change it. And I think right now that's what they're relying on. Mm. I mean, Prince of Persia went on to earn $335 million worldwide.
Yeah, exactly.
So, look, you know, there's still a chance for this film to make enough of money around the world. And basically the international box office is kind of more important than domestic.
And it's so funny how that has turned, because go back to the 80s and the American box office was all that they counted. Even if a film went on and made $200 million around the rest of the world, they didn't count it. They looked at it and just said, the American market, if it bombed in America, it was considered a bomb. It didn't matter what it made everywhere else. And now they are relying on that international market.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's a major factor.
Thus right, ended the rant.
I won't rant until we get to the film. So
fair enough. Well, make sure if you are only listening to the new show, you do listen to our Film Actually review show. We are going to be reviewing John Carter for this week's show, so we will talk more about it then. We got one last thing we're going to talk about, which is Richard and I were talking about this earlier in the week. The Hunger Games is coming out, and for a film that is a big tentpole release, for a film that has had all this pre-press, we've seen nothing of this film. Right? We've seen two crappy trailers, basically. And for a film that is about to open, I mean, we're talking about a film that opens in, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah,
two weeks. We've seen,
no, next week.
Next week. We've seen bugger all for this film. Well, this week on Yahoo, they finally released a clip. And I actually have the clip, so it's 44 seconds. Here's the clip.
My name's Sinner.
Katniss.
I'm sorry that this happened to you. I'm here to help you in any way that I can.
Most people just congratulate me.
Well, I don't see the point in that. So tonight, they have the tribute parade. I'm gonna take you out and show you off to the world.
So you're here to make me look pretty?
I'm here to help you make an impression. Usually they dress people in the clothes from their district.
Yeah, we're always coal miners.
Yeah, but I don't want to do that. I want to do something that they're going to remember. Did they explain about trying to get sponsors?
Yeah, but I'm not very good at making friends.
We'll see.
And so that's what they
that's
what they decided to show us a week before.
That sounds awesome.
And all I can think is, really, that's all you're going to get? They're not showing us an action scene. They're not showing us anything that this film is supposed to have. They show us a scene of two people in a cell talking about what she's going to wear.
And this is kind of like the Twilight thing, though. It's kind of like, you know, there's a pre-made market for it based on the young adult books. But I have no connection to that. So as a film lover over 30 who kind of loves films and likes to talk about them, to as many people as possible, I have no connection to this movie whatsoever.
No, it's a terrible piece of marketing. Guys, we're done. 29 minutes, 10 seconds. Josh can be found at rawdlc.com. Richard can be found at therealbits.com. I can be found at geekactually.com. And we are out. Bye, guys. Talk to you next week.
See ya.
Bye.
Jordan fades back. Swoosh. And that's the game. Nothing further, Your Honor.